Take your Bible today and open to the ninth Psalm, Psalm 9. I want to spend a few moments today challenging each and every one of us as we seek the face of God, one and all. I have to say, first of all, I was really, really hesitant to start, even though we were making our messages available on Sundays. I was sort of hesitant to start something digitally. Part of it was, you know, I didn't know that anybody would even be interested in listening to me that much. But the other part of it was, you have to have something every day to do something every day. And I never wanted to get to a place where it was boring or redundant or repetitive. But I can only speak for myself on this. Something is happening in this hour, and I don't want to sound melodramatic. I'm just going to say it. I have never been at a time in my preaching life, which is pushing 50 years now, where I've been any more convinced that every message may be the last one I ever share. I'm not talking just about health and life. I have no death wish. I'm talking about that we're living in times where I believe the rapture could occur that quick. And I feel it every day. I feel it absolutely every day. The moment I open my eyes, whatever time of day that is, and that's none of your business when that is, but whatever time of day it is, sometimes it's real early, sometimes it's not so early. Sometimes I'm up while you're still asleep. But I have a sense, I can't even describe it, every day. This may be the last opportunity I have to share. And I feel such a fire inside that we need to be about the Master's business. And there's so much to do. There are so many people lost. Just today, coming in, I used to come Interstate 74 over here. I found there was a shorter route taking 465 to 865 to 65 to State Road 32 in from Lebanon. So that's the way I usually come now, straighter shot. There were some folks setting up for a garage sale today, putting their stuff out. I am not a judging kind of person. I give people all sorts of latitude. I appreciate having that for myself. But the other side of this is, why aren't those folk in church? They're out selling their wares. Why are they not in the house of God? People are telling us all the time that the stuff we're putting out digitally has become their food for ministry and life, because they tell us all the time, we cannot find a place to worship, that they're getting anything like this. I don't know what that means, because I'm not one that looks down on ministries or church or anything like that. Not at all. I'm just telling you that the need is more great than it's ever been. People who think that everything is said that could be said are just so zoned out. There is so much need today. People are desperate to hear from God. And many of them don't even know where to look. You know, some of us, we think, my God, how hard is this? But we're living in a time because of the secularization of our society and the immorality that literally is in front of us every day we wake up. There are people who are desperate, but they don't know where to look. They don't know who to talk to. And here we are, the people of God, with the answer. And the sense of this hour, which we're on the verge of everything we believed and expected, is right now here. Thing we've talked about all our lives. These men like the Hal Lindseys, like the David Wilkersons, you can just start naming them. We're seeing the fulfillment, and we're living in times where all things are coming together. And I feel this unctioning as never before in my entire life, to somehow every day when we do our morning minute or when we have our Facebook Live at Wednesday night or these Sunday morning services, I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't want anyone to not hear what God has for their soul so they can get out and live. And God's at work, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. 2 weeks ago, while I was praying and seeking the face of God, I felt so directed to share on this passage today. Thought it'd be last week, but that didn't happen. So we're here today, and I want you to turn to the ninth psalm if you're not already there. And please stand for the reading of God's word today, Psalm 9. And I'm headed toward a particular verse today that I have to tell you, I have, in my own personal devotion and walk with God, I have quoted this passage more times than I can count. There are so many promises of God, but this is one I hope you put in the top desk drawer. I pray it becomes to you what it's become to me. I pray with all my heart that this is something that you can have at easy arm's length, because you're going to need it. I believe with all of my heart, with the days that are coming, our faith is going to be stretched to a degree like it never has, and we better have something more than just feeling. Just the visceral. We better have something deeper than that. I was standing in a Sam's Club some weeks back, and a dude walked up. He was in line over here, and he had a big T-shirt on. Said, "My faith is greater than the lies of my fears." I said, "I like that T-shirt." I want to share with you today a great, great promise of God that I hope will transcend anything that comes. And here it is, Psalm 9. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." That's worth the price of admission right there, those first two verses. Verse 3, "When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You've sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You've rebuked the nations. You've destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." And the context of these verses is just how God is working on a global basis to establish his name. In spite of all of the vicissitudes of the conflicts and the difficulties, well, watch this now. "The Lord also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." And here it is. "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Heavenly Father, we ask you today, in these remaining moments, we pray that you would take your word. And for every man, woman, young person in this sanctuary, even down to our youngest, Father, do something deep in our spirit today that will anchor us for all that's coming. Waves and winds and tsunamis that are going to beat against the fabric of this world. And Father, we're going to have something more. And I pray, Lord, that this would become clearly something that we will be able to sink our teeth into in all of the things that are about to happen, come what may. Minister your word to us in power and in great glory, we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen today. Be seated. Dr. S.D. Gordon, who has had an incredible ministry and writing of theological materials and devotional works, is reputed to have said, quote, "The greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is pray. It's not the only thing, but it's the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, not those who can explain prayer. But I mean those people who actually take the time and pray." Beloved, prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is a communication with God. It is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. It isn't just us preparing our grocery list of needs like we were headed to Kroger. It is actually a process of interaction. And I become more and more convinced the longer I live that it's far more important what we hear from God than what we say to God. Because he gives us an insight, he gives us a perspective that we simply cannot have in the limitations of our own humanity. There are two great realities in the world. There is a God, and I am not him, and neither are you. There's so much we don't know. There's so many things we cannot see. But God sees the end from the beginning. There is insight. There is revelation that he provides to his people through the gifts of the Spirit that helps us to understand where things are and where things are headed. But there's something about men and women who really seek the face of God. It really isn't about how much you pray in the sense that you pile up this or that and then say, "Well, God, I've done this much, so you owe me that much." Prayer is not a way to back arm God. Anybody remember the days of back arming? I remember the days in my younger years where backarming was quite a tactic. Anybody ever been backarmed in your life? Well, this mentality that somehow God owes us something and we can somehow force God. I got to be careful how I say this. I believe in the promises of God. I stand four square on the promises of God. But I have a real problem with people who give this mentality of ordering. That's where I have all the problem with name it, claim it, blab it, have it. It's because we're not dealing with any common potatoes here. We're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's something to be said for humility. There's something to be said about coming before his throne with the deepest sort of respect of who he is and who we are. Yet I will tell you that he gives us this blessing. I'm old enough to remember the days when toll-free numbers became a new thing. I can remember the days of the dial tones and the party line. Anybody remember a party line in the house when the neighbors listened or may have been on your conversations? I realize I'm dating myself by even talking like this. But I do remember the days vividly when all of a sudden they had what they called these Watts lines or these free, used to be 1-800 calls, and they become 1-888 calls and 1-877 calls, and I think it's 1-845. You start naming them toll free. And you know, you've got the prefix code and then you've got the numbers. Can I tell you the greatest free call available in the world? Is 1-800-PRAYERS. It costs you nothing. But God has given us a blank check. Carte blanche. Jesus said, ask anything in my name. If you were listening to the Morning Minute recently, we talked about the weaponry that God has given to us. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, the blood of the Lamb. Whereby we launch those into the heavenly realms and prayer, this communication, this dialogue with God is one of the primary means. Also, praise is another, where we launch these things into the spiritual dimensions. The thing I have never been able to understand about us is God invites us. It doesn't cost us anything, but how little we do it. I'm just saying that if I were to ask you on any 7-day period in your life, not the time you pray over the ribs and steak. Not the time you lay down with your kids or your grandkids and say their evening prayers, which we do every time we're with ours. I'm not talking about that particular listening to somebody on some particular platform, whether it be on television or over the internet or perhaps through YouTube. I'm not talking about someone. I'm talking if we were to take our own lives and we were to reconsider how much time we actually pray, that we communicate with the Lord, not to the Lord, with the Lord, time that we set aside to hear his voice. I am not going to get legalistic and tell you that the only place you can pray is here, God forbid. I'm not going to say that it has to be at 5 a.m. in the morning. There are good times to pray, and I have told people for years, pray at the time that's best for you. It's got to be at 5 o'clock. Well, I've said that's wonderful because at that time in the morning, God doesn't have that many customers. We understand that. But for 15 years, I worked nights. At 5 a.m., I was at work. And when I get home at 7 or thereabouts, it wasn't necessarily the best time of day for me. And I began to realize that because of the vicissitudes of schedules, that everybody's going to have that sweet spot, that special, significant time. So I'm not going to say it has to be at some moment or at some place or at some time or any of that. What I'm asking you, are you praying? And if you're not, why not? Some of this you can't get through osmosis. In other words, I know there are these men and women that we all are aware of and we're akin to and we appreciate and we love and we admire that clearly have a walk with God that is special and unique, but those people can't do your praying for you. And it's not to say that they won't, they can't. Because there's no human way that another person can understand your life and hear for you from God. Like God intends to have that kind of walk in our own individual experience. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned in the entirety of my life. When I pray, I find I have so many coincidences that seem to happen, seemingly out of nowhere. But when I'm not, they don't. It's a good thing to be in the presence of God. It isn't just about quantity, but it is about quality. It's about going into that secret place of the Most High where you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's about having that sort of connection and that sort of access. And today, in our text of the morning from the ninth Psalm, he says to us, God never abandons those who call on him. In other words, when the believer has that dynamic in their life where they're in relationship and they're near to God and they're close to God, and it doesn't mean, hear me, doesn't mean that any one of us are perfect. We're not. None of us have arrived. Nobody has actually got to the pinnacle. We're all struggling and we're all climbing together. We're all finding the strength somehow to keep putting one foot in front of the other. But God has promised he will not forsake those who call upon him. I know there are times when we look at our life and we are tempted to think, where is God in this? We may not see it. It may not be obvious to us. We may actually have some doubts and some uncertainty. And the fact of the matter is, even when there are things that don't quite add up, or maybe we did not sign up for, and yet somehow that's where we are, that's where we're living, that's where we're walking through, can I remind you, God never abandons them who call upon him. He has given us a promise that somehow in the midst of wherever we may be living, that he is there and he has not left us to our own devices. If you don't hear another thing I say today, I want you to hear this. You are not alone. You are not living this out in your own abilities by themselves. God does not abandon them. And you read this ninth Psalm, and you read about the nations, and you read about the enemies of the people of God, and you read about all of the various things. And, you know, there are times when in the midst of the paralysis of analysis, in the midst of the globalization of our current contemporary times, we have a tendency to feel very, very, very small. And there's always that kind of sense that with all of this going on, how could God even see where I am? How could God even know what I'm walking through? And if he does he even care? What I love about this ninth Psalm, in the midst of this huge picture of life, all of a sudden the psalmist pivots. And he says in this 10th verse, actually beginning in verse 9, he says, the Lord's a refuge for the oppressed. After talking about this view of the world at large and all these plates that are spinning and all of this stuff going on, the psalmist says, you know, let's take it down to where we live up close and personal. In spite of all of these larger issues, these larger matters, the Lord's a refuge for the oppressed. The word in the Hebrew is a picture of the downtrodden or those who are being walked on by life. Some years ago, we had somebody we knew pretty well that had passed away, had lived through a really, really difficult passage in their years of life, particularly their later years of life. But this individual had kind of an interesting take on things. And we were looking through his information when he had passed, as it had been given to us. And in one page of his diary that he kept, as he was going through a terrible time, and we knew something about that, we talked and helped and prayed as best we could. He wrote in his diary something I'd never, ever heard anyone ever say. But he was talking about where he was at the time. He said, you know, how much flatter can you make a cat by continuing to run over it? And that gave me an imagery of something I had never really considered as much up to that point. Have you ever felt like you've been run over? And then life has decided to back up or run over you again and run over you again. Sometimes we ask ourselves, how much flatter can we get? This word in the Hebrew is a reference to a life that's been flattened by the experiences and the circumstances it's lived through. But it says that God's a refuge for a person like that. Anybody but me glad about that today. He's a refuge for people that have been run over by life. He's been a refuge for people that feel like life has backed up and run over them again and run over them again and run over them again. He's a refuge in times of trouble like that. And then in verse 10, and those who know your name. How many of you know the name of God today? Lift your hand and wave it at me. And those who know your name, who put their trust in you, for God, you've never forsaken those who seek you. The seeking is our part. It's God's job to take care of us, and he's promised when we do, he won't abandon us. People might forget you, but God never will. People may hurt you. God never will. You may get disappointed by things, but God will not hurt you. You can put your trust in him. You can focus your faith upon him. In fact, no matter where you may be, beside some roadside in life, somehow trying to pull things back together and figure out where this or that may be, and maybe you're at a point where you feel like you're all of a sudden in a sense of utter confusion because nothing seems to be making any sense. God says, I won't abandon those who seek me. I will not forsake those who call upon me. You see, there's this sense in which we as the people of God, there's a lot of things that need to be done. And prayer in and of itself, hear me, is not the only thing we do. It is clearly one of the most important things we do. Hear me, it is not a substitute for us doing the things that we know to do and need to do. If you've ever heard of Leonard Ravenhill, the great revival writer that influenced so many of the contemporary Christian believers that are in our times today, but Leonard Ravenhill once made the statement that we ought to pray though we don't believe in work, and we ought to work as though we don't believe in prayer. In other words, both have their place. We all need to do whatever it is we can do. But God's power turbocharges, I don't know who drove in today, it's not the car I was driving today, but somebody drove into the parking lot today in that Dodge Charger. That is like my favorite car. Not just because our law enforcement, I know the headlights, I certainly know the taillights of those cars after driving 15 years at night and being pulled over more times than I could possibly count, I began to recognize those cars by the headlights and the taillights in a New York minute. I love those cars, and I know how fast those suckers will drive. Can I tell you, seeking the face of God with all your heart is like sitting behind the wheel of a Dodge Charger. Because what you do, in the best you know to do it, prayer will take all that to a new level. Because there's things you can't do. There's places you can't go. There are people you can't influence. There are people that try as you might aren't going to listen. But when we partner with God, then when we've done all we can do, God makes up the deficits, and God takes over in ways we cannot. And by the way, he doesn't abandon those who call on him. He promises to walk with us. He promises to be with us. He promises to help us. He promises a grace that's sufficient. He promises mercies that are new every day. He promises us that greater is the one that is in us than the one that is in the world. He promises us, hear me today, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He promises us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise up a standard against him. He promises us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And COVID-19 has not changed that. Whatever they're telling us on CNN does not change that. Whatever they're forecasting. I worked for a long time in the news industry, but can I tell you, they have their view and then there's God's. They can tell us what they think is going to happen, and it amazes me how many times they're wrong when God gets in the middle of it. A doctor can tell you thus and so, but then there's God. And have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible two little words appear after laying it out clearly, succinctly, and then two words appear, but God, the world may say its thing, but God, a doctor may tell us this, but God, a psychologist may try to say this, but God, a social worker may get themselves in the middle of this, but God, they may say this and that about the church, but God, the government may try to do this or that, but God, and there may be those things that are going on that we don't understand and we can't add up, and we can get about as low as an earthworm. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll eat some worms. Long, slim, slimy ones, short, fat, juicy ones, itsy, bitsy, fuzzy little worms. That's what came out of my childhood. But you can feel that low. And don't lie to me today. We all get there sometimes. And sometimes things come to us, and we get something in the mail. We get a text. We get an email. Somebody calls such, such, so-and-so, and your whole world gets turned on your head. And there's times in the middle of trying to sort all this out when we can actually say to ourselves, but God, where are you? He's promised never to abandon those who call upon him. Your job and my job is to call on him. It's his job to take care of us. You know, typically, children, grandchildren, never doubt, never question that their mom and dad are going to care for them, because that's just kind of the nature of parents and kids. Kids trust their moms and dads. I'm not saying moms and dads are perfect. They're not. Nancy and I weren't perfect parents. God knows we're not perfect grandparents. Our little Hannah, 4 years old, tells me all the time, Grandpa, you're so old. And I always tell her, and she doesn't even know what I'm saying when I say it. I may be getting older, but I'm getting better. And she just looks at me like that. But not one time have our children, they're now 37 and 35, and our grandkids, not one time on either platform have either one of them ever said to us, are you going to take care of us? That question has never been asked. Now, on the parental end and the grandparental end, there were times where the cookie jar was pretty low. Wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. There have been times, and I've said this publicly, I've made no bones about it, there have been some times in our life where I didn't know how we would have enough to get through a particular month, and yet God's always provided. Knowing this promise in Psalm 9:10, God never forsakes those who call upon him. How many times have I prayed, Lord, you promised not to abandon them who are calling on you, and I'm calling on you. You've promised that the meal barrel won't run out. You've promised that the oil flask won't run dry. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, God, but that's a promise, and I'm trusting you to take care of us. And God's never failed. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I've said things I shouldn't say. I've done things I shouldn't do, and so have you. Don't look at me so sanctimonious. We all know what that means. It's life. To err is to be human. We're all imperfect. But aren't you glad you serve a God who isn't? And aren't you glad you serve a God that has promised when you call on him, he won't abandon you. He won't forsake you even when you do mess up. That's the part of God I don't understand. And yet I thank God so much for it. The part of it I don't understand is I know how I am. You know, we all have that part where we have this limitation of how far we can be pushed. They might mess up at the Steak and Shake one time, but if they get that triple cheeseburger wrong two times, I'm out of there. I'm going to go somewhere where they can get it right. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We got all of these varieties and all of these opportunities, and we can be pushed to the edge when we're finally like, I'm done with that. I'm not going back there. Bad service, bad food. But we serve a God that is infinitely patient. Infinitely patient. And we can foul up and God still loves us. We can mess up and he's still there. He won't forsake those who call on him. And it doesn't mean that any one of us live a perfect life, because we don't. And this legalism that seems to think that perfection, which is unattainable and impossible to accomplish. No, we serve a God that even in our fallacies, which we all have, he said, I will not abandon you when you call upon me. I've learned that with children and grandchildren, that the older they get, the more expensive they become. Used to be that a dime, a quarter, of course, change is being removed from American society. So, you know, your dime or a quarter, the older our kids have got, the more expensive it is. God has provided, thank God. But there's that sense of appeal that they may not hesitate to ask, but you and I may have a limitation of how much we can respond. But here's what James says about the God that we serve in James 1 verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And actually in the Greek text, that's a class 1 conditional sentence, which is a statement that's affirmed true. So it's more correctly translated, not if anyone lacks wisdom, it should be more correctly translated, since we lack wisdom, let us ask of God. We all lack it. We all have things that we don't fully understand. We all have things we don't know how it's all going to fit together. We all have things when we're struggling to get the big picture. Let us ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And in the Greek text where it talks about asking liberally and without reproach, what it essentially means is you're never going to ask God and him say, get out of my face. You get home from a busy day. You are absolutely wore out. You're having a hard enough time adding one and one, let alone any other particular question, any other particular situation. And all of a sudden, such and such and so approaches you, asking this or asking that, and you're almost like, just go talk to your mom. Talk to me later. I don't have time for this. I have my bearings right yet. Listen, that's never going to happen with God. That's never going to happen with God. That you're going to approach him and he's going to say, get out of my face. How many more times are you going to come and talk to me about that? How many more times are you going to approach me about that need? How many more times are you going to lay that? Listen, the Bible actually says in 1 Peter chapter 4, cast A-double-L all your cares upon him because he cares so much for you. If you don't bother God with your problems are going to bother you. I'll say it again. You can write it down if you like. Pastor Cain said on August the 9th, 2020, if you don't bother God with your problems are going to bother you. So you have a choice, and so do I. Either we're going to worry ourselves to death, and you know what worry is, don't you? E. Stanley Jones said, worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. Worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. And if you decide you want to carry it yourself, good luck. If you want to bear all the anxiety and all the worry and all the fear and all the terror trying to figure out how this is going to come together, the Bible says cast A-double-L all your cares upon him because he cares so much for you. If you don't bother God with your problems are going to bother you. I think all of us need to resign as the manager of the universe and let God be God. Would you please let God help you? I actually had a mother tell me some years ago that if she weren't worrying for her kids, she wasn't being a good mother. And I said to this dear sister, I said, listen, I understand having concerns, but worries have to be placed on God or they will eat you alive, inside out. If you want to worry, there's plenty to worry about. Because every time those little pikers are out of your sight, and every time so-and-so walks out the house to go to work, and every time someone climbs behind the wheel of an automobile or goes somewhere, if you want to worry, there's all sorts of stuff to worry about. And we've got a responsibility to control that kind of panic, or it'll just destroy you. Your body wasn't made to live like that. All of these intestinal concerns and these ulcers, and I'm not saying that in of itself, there can be all kinds of reasons for such and such to happen. But I also know people, and so do you, that are consumed because they can't answer every question about everything. What if this and what if that? And the question that's always unanswerable is why? But I could tell you this, God won't abandon those who call on him, regardless of what the context looks like. He's not going to abandon you. Others may have walked away from you, but God will never. God will be faithful to his word. He'll stand over it to perform it. I can already hear somebody saying today, you're saying, but I've done that. And I'm going to say with you today, then do it again. I've already laid that at God's feet, laid at his feet again. I've already asked him, ask him again. I've already placed that burden, put it there again. You remember when Peter was out fishing with his compadres and they got skunked? Every time we read about Peter fishing, he always gets skunked. I don't know why Peter stayed being a fisherman. I mean, really. It seemed like every time those dudes went out to fish, they came in with nothing. But they come in, and what did Jesus say? Cast the net on the other side. Pray again. Do it again. Believe again. Jack Johnson, heavyweight champion of the world in the early 20th century. This was in the days when there were no limits on boxing rounds, so fights could go 25, 30, 40 rounds. But they asked Jack Johnson, who was the first black champion of the world, they asked him how he became heavyweight champion of the world in that context in that day. And Jack Johnson said, I always made it my goal to fight one more round. No matter what I felt like, to go back out again. Even when I didn't think I had the strength to get off the stool in the corner, to go back out and fight again. God granted him a stamina that he attributed to his relationship with the Lord. But he said, I made it my goal to just fight one more round. And there may be times when you're tempted to think it's done, it's over. What else can be done? Show up one more day. Get out of bed one more morning. Go at it another round. Pray again. Ask God again. Believe again. Trust him with all your heart again. No matter what you read, determine to put all faith in him again. Even if persons tell us such and such and so, make it your aim that no matter what you read, what you hear, or whatever you may see, that come what may, one more day, one more moment, one more place of faith, you're going to trust Him, you're going to believe, you're going to stand upon His promises that are yes and amen. He does not abandon them who call on His name. Give Him one more praise offering in this house today. Hallelujah. Whatever you're carrying, whatever burden is on your heart, I know something about some things that you have been kind enough to share with us, and we pray with you without ceasing. I don't know what you've got to face today or what you have to go home to or what's on the docket for tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you this. Hang on to this with everything you got. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Put it there where you wash your dishes. Stick it on your day timer. Put it on your steering wheel. Psalm 9:10. God does not abandon them who call on Him. You do the calling. Let God do the miracles. Heavenly Father, today, You see the lives and the hearts, and I already know, without being a prophet or the son of a prophet, there are men and women standing in this auditorium today that are facing gargantuan things and mountains that they don't see any way that could ever be moved. But You promised not to abandon those who seek You and call on Your name. Father, let a little spark of hope be lit in the soul of every worshiper in this house today, that regardless of whatever they're facing, that they'll somehow have just enough to go back and fight another round, to go back at it again one more time, to pray one more time, to believe one more time, to profess the promises of God one more time. And even with everything within them, maybe there's a sense that I can't do it anymore. Give them the strength to just do it another time. And then, Father, I pray that You'll meet them at the point of need. Father, at the low pressures of our life where the stress is the greatest, sit in the high pressure of Your power to change the entire atmosphere. Lord, we ask You today to guide us for homes, marriages, families, health, distant connections, persons who may be a long ways away, and we don't know how they're ever going to come home. Heavenly Father, I pray You'll guide us and help us today. If you're here with a need in your life, a concern heavy on your heart, say, Lord, I'm bringing my burdens and my cares, and God, I'm calling upon You, and You promise not to abandon those that do that. I'm calling out to You. Help us. Help my son, help my daughter, help my wife, help my husband. God, help my health, our finances. God, I'm doing all I can to prepare, but there's things I will not think of and there's things I will not do. God, make up the deficit in my life because You promised not to forsake those who seek You. And God, I'm seeking You today. I'm bringing my cares and my burdens to You today because You told me to bring them all, to cast them all before You. And I'm doing it today to the best of my heart and my abilities. Heavenly Father, we pray for signs, wonders, and miracles to follow the word in each and every one of these persons' lives. The testimonials we're hearing that are coming back to us of people who have heard messages and You've done something in their life, I praise You for that. Motivate within us even greater faith to conquer every knock of fear that pounds on the door of our hearts. Heavenly Father, I ask You today that this today would be a demarcation of change in so many people's lives. If nothing else, they will never ever doubt again in their heart that You'll abandon or forsake them because they're calling on You, because they're seeking You, because they're placing the burden at Your feet, and Lord, come. coming before your heart. And Father, we thank you in advance for every answer to prayer that's going to happen in the precious name of Jesus. Beloved, lift those burdens heavenward. Lift those cares heavenward. Call by name those persons you're praying for. Call by name that need that you're facing. Call by name those circumstances that maybe only you know about, whatever they may be. And right now say, God, you promised not to abandon those who call. I'm calling. God, I need you to show up, and I'm believing you to help me. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. You've never abandoned them that call. We're calling. You've said in each and any one of our situations that you would not forsake us when we seek you. And we're seeking you today. We're calling out to you today. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me leave a PS with you. Don't be tempted to think or be tempted to believe that you can't keep calling out to God about a particular situation. I've heard people say, well, isn't that a lack of faith? No. No, not at all. Keep calling on God and keep beseeching him with your need until you feel that peace that is taken care of. Just keep on calling. Just keep on talking. Keep on asking until the peace is in your heart. And then if for whatever moment the peace seems to evaporate and you feel that, then go back to prayer about it and keep praying. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Right? Knock and the door shall be open to you. Seek and you'll find. Right? The word is a continual present tense. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Be like the persistent widow who kept appealing to the judge, and he said, if I don't give this woman what she wants, she's going to wear me out. I've met some of those people through the journeys of my life that'll wear you out. Forgive me for saying it this way, wear God out. Just wear him out, and he'll never turn you away. He loves you visiting, and he still makes house calls. Somebody give God a praise offering in this house today. Hallelujah.